right now life. And Father, we thank you for the purpose of your word and the power of your word and the plans that you will download into our spirit from your word will be transformative and revolutionary. We honor your word, dear Father, this morning. We have a heart that we bring that's willing, open, and receptive. We have a mind that's humble and listening and attentive to hear your word. And we give you all the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise for the revelation of your word, the transformation that will come from your word, the confirmation and the manifestation of your word. We thank you, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that shall destroy and break every yoke of bondage. We give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' most precious name, we just thank you and praise you. We honor you, Lord. We just reverence you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, we'll start a new series entitled Honor, and we'll talk more about it. And we'll kind of tag team with Wednesdays and kind of stay in this theme because it's so important. Because as we remember the table today, remember to get your communion elements ready. You know, we live in a dishonoring culture. And God wants to restore godly honor back into our hearts, our heads, our homes, in our habits, and in this community, in church. Praise God. So today, as we reflect on the table, we're going to talk about honoring the blood. Because the blood of Jesus, also known as the blood of God, is eternal. We say, the blood gives me strength. How often? From day to day. It will never, what? Lose. Y'all know the song. It's power. It reaches into heaven and it reaches down into our hearts and makes a huge difference in our lives. We don't realize how important and how imperative it is for us to honor the blood. Amen. We don't have to run around killing turtle doves and goats and calves and lambs. But Jesus did it once and for all throughout eternity. And that blood never loses its power. I want you to get a visual and a picture of the blood of Jesus upon the heavenly mercy seat in heaven. And God sees us through that blood. And God sees us through that the cross that where he shed his blood. And he sees us raised up and righteous because of the blood. There's a bloodline from Genesis to Revelation. And in Revelations, there we're going to be singing songs in heaven about the blood. So it's appropriate that this first Sunday in July, this 4th of July, this Freedom Sunday, Independence Day, happy Independence Day, everybody, that we honor the blood. You know, we know natural military men and women, soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines have shed their blood for our freedom. There was a war that was fought. There was blood that was shed for our freedom. But for our spiritual and eternal freedom, we have to honor the blood of Jesus that was shed. Amen. So in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26, it says, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. Through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time the righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of the one who had faith, has faith in Jesus. So as we prepare to receive communion today, it's important to understand the importance of the honoring the blood of Jesus. We are to honor the blood of Jesus by four things. Write these down. I think you have answers. But write these things down. Number one, release in our faith in the blood of Jesus. So I want you to think about where the target of my faith is to be on a regular, consistent basis. And I said regular, so that implies daily or several times a day. Releasing faith in the blood on a regular. Are you releasing your faith in the blood on a regular? Number two, allowing the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all sin, its forms and manifestations. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Number three, applying and pleading the blood by faith daily and regularly. So sometimes the blood has to be applied. And then number four, accessing the holiest of all, God's presence by and through the blood of Jesus because of our call to persevere in faith. Now let's see the scriptural illustration of this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. Read out of the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Now the Old Testament high priest was only allowed to go into the holy place, the Holy of Holies, once a year. Now I want you to look at the visual, or look at the comparison. He was only to go into the presence of God once a year, into the holy place, Holy of Holies, and not with the blood of bulls and goats to offer up for sins for himself. In this dispensation, in this new covenant we have, we get to go into the holy place regularly. Because and by the blood of Jesus. We have to see that's significant. Because only thing the high priest could do back in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was cover the sins. We get to go in with our sins completely cleansed. Hallelujah. He said, okay, so verse 20, same. By his death, Jesus opened up a new life, new and life-giving way through the curtain to the most holy place. So we get to go right into the presence of God. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God. So he's encouraging us. Go right into the presence of God. With sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. Isn't that good? Yeah, you know, because the big issue is Satan will try to condemn you or convince you that you're guilty of something. Because something's going wrong, and you just go right into the presence of God. Not by your own merits or your own upstanding or how tight you've been walking the line. Come on now. You are righteous only because of the blood. Somebody said, praise the Lord. See, our faith released in his blood is essentially faith in his finished works, the accomplished facts through his death, burial, and resurrection. Simply put, faith in his blood. Amen. Faith in the blood of Jesus. Faith in the blood of Jesus. We always say, what can wash away my sin? What? Nothing. Is there anything else? No, that song is right in line with the word. Nothing can wash away. You can't pay your way out of sins. Come on, you can't beg your way out of sins. You can't try to deny yourself, deny the truth away the sins and say, well, it doesn't exist. Only thing that can wash away sin and cure sin is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the promises, as they sung today, beautiful song, yes and amen. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for all the promises of God are in him what? Yes, and in him what? Amen. So the promises that God made in him, that means in Christ, are what? Yes. They're covenant, your covenant rights and privileges. You have a covenant of prosperity. You have a covenant of healing. You have a covenant of health and wealth. You have a covenant for family peace. Come on now. You have a covenant. You live under a covenant. It's a blood covenant. That's why all the promises have been paid for and provided, the ones that have been promised. Because he shed his blood. Yes means the answer ahead of time is already given to you. Yes. Amen means so be it. Because some people question, can I have this? Can I live like this? Can I experience this and enjoy this in my life? All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. Come on now. Faithful you are. Amen. To the glory of God through us. Now, how did we get redeemed? First, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. New Living says, so rich in his kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of Jesus, his son, blood of his son, and forgave us our sin. He purchased our freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from sin. Freedom from guilt. Freedom from shame and condemnation and Satan's control in our lives. And if you don't think that's a big deal, we're gonna see John's epistle that talks about it. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So we have two scriptures to establish this truth. In Christ Jesus, we have, not going to get, redemption. We defined it before as freedom with the from the purchase of a price. Freedom from the purchase of Christ. You've been redeemed. You've been reconciled back to God by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You have redemption through his blood. So it means you don't have to pay for your healing. Jesus already got it for you. You don't have to pay for blessings upon your life because Jesus already got them and restored them for you. Come on now. You don't have to pay for prosperity. Prosperity is a grace that you can't earn and merit, but you have to qualify for it. Amen? And there's covenant qualifications. Praise the Lord. You don't have to pay for family peace. Jesus already paid for it for you. So when you take the communion elements, you go back and remember, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So some things need to be reinstated in your life. Some things need to be restored into your life. This is what you do around the communion table because it's a communion around the covenant. You honor the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord. Amen. So what is redemption? Is what our Lord Jesus Christ was doing when he died for us on the cross. Shed his blood and raised us from the dead by the Father and carried away his own blood into the heavenly holy of holies as our great high priest. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Hallelujah. We don't have to go in there and pray for our sins and hope that we don't die while we're doing it. The Old Testament high priest had the rope tied around their leg. They had little bells and pomegranates around the hem of their skirt. The priestly garment, and as long as the people outside heard the bells ringing, they knew he was moving around. But if they didn't hear those bells ringing, when he was offering that sacrifice, that brother died. And they had to drag him out by the rope. They couldn't go in there. Thank God we don't have to depend on somebody else, somebody falling dead, trying to pay for our sins. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because Jesus already did it once and for all. Now let's read 1 John. 1 John 1. 1st Epistle of John, chapter 1. And we're going to read down to chapter 2, verse 2. It says, that which we have seen from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life that was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. These things have we write unto you, that your joy may be full. This is the message that you've heard from him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship, now notice how many times the word fellowship is coming up in these few verses, with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. I like Amplified says, clear and unbroken fellowship. Fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ. There it is. His Son cleanses us from all sin. Amplified says, all sin it's in its forms and manifestations. So it could be a form of sin of, we would call categorically, a sin of commission. That means that something you committed, a sinful act or disobedience or rebellious behavior of disobedience that you willingly committed. Now, we said there's a sins of omission. There's sins of commission, but there's sins of omission. Omission means we denied, we delayed, we didn't do it, or we just weren't aware of it to focus our attention on that area that the Lord or the Holy Spirit was dealing with our heart about. So we omitted it. We just didn't obey. Lord's been dealing with us, and we're behind schedule, or we're behind what he's spoken in our heart to do. Amen. You have to hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord, because you could fall into the trap of omission. And most people feel real comfortable and sometimes, unfortunately, get in pride about the fact, I don't commit sin. I don't cuss. I don't fuss. I don't fight people. I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't cheat. But they worry. And they don't give their cares to the Lord when the Lord said the casting of your cares is an act of humility and honor. That means you dishonor him when you carry the worries and the cares of life in your soul and you don't give it to the Lord, because what happens? You're basically saying, God, I don't trust you with my problems. I don't trust you with my predicaments. I don't trust you with my pressure I'm under. So you're an act of pride. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. See, casting your cares is an act of humility and honor. He said, Lord, I trust your plans. I trust your will. I trust your ability to handle my biggest problems. Amen. Amen. Some people don't, like I said, don't commit adultery, don't commit fornication. But they doubt God. They're embalmed with unbelief. So they're slow of heart to believe. They're skeptical. They're cynical. They're critical. Hallelujah. Well, let's keep going. Praise God. Hallelujah. If we say, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we are to deceive ourselves. Then the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And like we said before, sin goes out by the way of the mouth. But some people are too stubborn and prideful to acknowledge it, admit it, and quit it. You'll never get the sin out unless you confess it out. Because he said, I'm waiting for you to get rid of the sin so I can bring the cleansing and righteousness back in. That's what 1 John 1:9 is telling us. I'm waiting for you to admit and deal with the sin so I can get righteousness and cleansing back in. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood. So the cleansing agency of the blood of Jesus doesn't come in until you get the sin confessed out. You have to acknowledge it. You have to agree with God that it's wrong. He's right. You're wrong. Amen. Amen. And he said, he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, the problem is sin. It's not skin, as some people try to purport. It's not other things. It's S-I-N. It's a sin problem. And the cure to it, the only cure, is Jesus and his blood. Amen. Why is sin a big deal? Well, he says it here in verse 1 and 2, chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not, what? Sin. If anyone sins, so he's telling us not to practice sin, not to live a sin-filled life. I mean, no, that's good. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Now, that's important because that's a defense attorney. That's a legal assistant, a lawyer in the courtroom of heaven. Now, some people don't honor the blood, so their sins get piled up in the record, and they've got broken fellowship. And see, this is where you get restored and reinstated as a righteous child of God, son or daughter of God, at the communion table, friends. Sin's still a big deal. In Romans, we know that the wages of sin is what? Death. D-E-A-T-H. Spiritual death is the first death that you experience, which is separation from God. You break fellowship. Sin breaks fellowship. That's why it's a big deal. Sin doesn't necessarily break relationship, but it breaks fellowship. And he who himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the whole world. Nothing but the blood of Jesus is the cure and the cleansing agent for sin. Everybody got that? So he was talking about in this section that we read, thank God for his word, amen? Come on, lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord, for your word. Hallelujah. Now, the Apostle John, by the Holy Spirit, writes to us that we would have abundant joy. Now, here's a key indication of what's going on when you're depressed, discouraged, despondent, or in despair, or just dejected. If you don't have your joy level high, because remember, Psalms 100 verse 2 didn't get erased from the Bible. Psalms 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with what? Singing. Singing, those are byproducts of a heart that's filled with joy. And most people don't like singing or being glad when their heart is sad because of sin. Because you're out of fellowship with God. So he talked about abundant joy. And we walk with God. And when we walk with God, it should be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We should have what? Joy. We shouldn't have bad days and blue days and dark days and busy days where we're so stressed and struggling and we're snapping at everybody. That means, wait a minute, we missed something. We got disconnected here. John warns us about three things that will keep Christians from experiencing the full benefits of their redemption and their new birthright in Christ. Remember when David sinned, Psalms 51, we know his big confession is there. He was not happy and joyful for a whole year. He had committed adultery and murder. He had not yet repented and confessed that sin, acknowledged that sin. But one of the things he prayed in Psalms 51 was what? Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me with your generous Holy Spirit. Amen. You can tell when people are at sins of commission or omission when their generosity drops and when their joy level gets low. It always shows up on your money and your motive of heart. Your heart gets sad or stays mad or your money falls off. You know, as people give, they're usually joyful. They're generous. They're joyful. Well, praise the Lord. I hope I'm helping people. Amen. So we forfeit our joy. So you could actually forfeit your joy when you're what? Number one, you deny the power of sin. Sin, as we said, breaks fellowship with God, his presence, his peace, his protection, and his provision. Think of fellowship this way. Everybody look, connectivity. We know when our phone doesn't have good connectivity, right? What do we do? We're trying to get a signal. Because you can't talk to nobody. You can't even get online a lot of times when you don't have a Wi-Fi signal or a internet availability. You can't have communion. That means mutual sharing, heart-to-heart connection. You're not heart-to-heart firm with God anymore. Your partnership, your cooperation is all dependent on your fellowship. That's all entailed in fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. So walking in fellowship with Christ results of being mutually cleansed from sin, and we are cleansed from the guilt and stain of sin, and we have the fullness of joy in the Lord. So you can't deny the power of sin. Some people play around with sin. They say, well, I'm just going to do this, and it's not going to hurt me. You don't have the power to play with sin. You cannot deny the power of sin because you'll forfeit your joy. You know this is a sin. You know this is a lie. You know this is wrong. You know the Bible says don't do this, but you do it anyway. You're denying the power of sin. You don't think death is going to come into your life, but it's going to start at the moment you make a decision. I'm going to step out of God and step into sin. Number two, you deny the presence of sin. Why was verse 7 there? Why is verse 8 and 9 there? Because all around us there are temptations, trouble, and trauma to push you into a place of sin. Why does the devil tempt us as Christians to sin? Now look at me real close. Look at me, because he's trying to get you off into sin, like I stepped to the side here. He gets you to step into sin because that gives him access to enter in. Everybody say it with me. Sin lets the devil get in. So that means you got to hold the blood over your house, over your family members. You got to apply the blood because sin lets the devil get in. If the devil gets in an inch, he wants to take a mile. If he gets to your lazy boy or your favorite chair, he's going to want the remote, the master bedroom, and the master bathroom. He's going to want to take over because sin lets the devil get where? In. So we got to confess sin when our heart senses I broke fellowship. Fellowship means I'm separated from four or five different things. God's presence, God's peace, God's power, God's protection, and God's provision. Everybody with me? Sin separates you from God's presence, God's peace, God's power, God's protection, and God's provision. And people are like, what happened with Job? Well, he got in fear. And that did what? It allowed his hedge of protection to come down. Because all sin, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, is fear-based and fear-dependent. So he was sacrificing for fear that his kids had sinned or his servants had sinned. And because he's trying to cover his kids' sin, he stepped out of faith and into fear. Now, how do people do it today? People try to compensate by sacrifice what they lose through disobedience and fear. So they say, well, if I just do this, maybe it'll cover up what my son, daughter, granddaughter, grandson did. Or I can cover up what's going on in my family. And I try to cover and sacrifice, and I compromise in fear. And just like Job, you let the hedge down. Then you wonder, why is all this stuff going on? Why is all this stuff blowing up? You're not under the right cover. The blood of Jesus is the right cover. Somebody say glory to God. Because the presence of sin is all, we know it's three-dimensional today. You can get in sin and social media. You can get in sin, you know, watching YouTube videos and let your heart lust and go, let's get into lawlessness and lasciviousness just watching YouTube video. You can get in sin watching TikTok. Amen. You can get in sin watching certain shows or movies. You don't have to just be right there in the presence of sinful acts. You can allow it to get in through different media forms. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me go there. I'm already there, so let me just go ahead and step across in there. You know, if you read 2 John, it talks about people who are in active sin and deny Jesus Christ and don't live by the doctrine of Christ. He told them, don't even let him in your house. Why did he say that? Because he said, if you let them in your house, you partake of the sin that they're doing. He said, don't fellowship with them. Don't even let them in your house. Because if you do, you partake of their sins. I mean, you can partner with that sin. So that's why you got to cover your house. You got to honor the blood and cover your house. You got to draw a bloodline around your house. Now, that doesn't mean they can't come in your house. That means you don't allow that sin and that sinful nature and talk to manifest in your house. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Because you got to be quick to repent sometimes. You got to say, Lord, what's going on here? I look like, my prosperity's got holes in it. People getting sick. We just having too much strife around here. You got to start checking your stuff. All right, did I make it plain enough? And you can't, number three, deny the practice of sin. I know today's culture wants to call everything cute and different. We got to accept that. No, you call it what God calls it. It's S-I-N. S-I-N. Everybody say S-I-N. S-I-N. Praise God. So you must call and don't mislabel sin. Don't simply say it's a mental lapse or they're just crazy or you got a personality trait. We shouldn't renounce and repent of what it really is. It's sin. Somebody say glory to God. See, when confronted with truth, true believers turn away from the darkness and walk in the light. Now, you got to question if a person is truly a believer if they won't repent when light is exposed. Light shines brightest in where? Darkness. See, they walk backwards and toward the truth of who God is and into restored fellowship with the Lord Jesus and the Father God. So that means you turn around from walking in darkness and turn back into the light. The process is called repentance. Everybody say repentance. See, Bible doesn't teach doing penance like some religious purport, because some people paying for people and praying for people who have gone to hell, or as they call this imaginary place, purgatory. When you paying and praying for people that you think have sinned, you are going in the wrong direction. You're dishonoring the blood of Jesus Christ. When you're praying and paying for people who've sinned. Because what, let me sing the song again, what can wash away my sins, our sins? What? Come on, y'all, say nothing. Come on, sing it with me. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me or us whole again? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. See, this is a process in which, by which God forgives and cleanses through Christ's blood. Now, how do you plead? As we're getting ready to close here, we've got three more points to make. How do you plead? Well, Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the what? Blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, did not love their lives to death. How are you going to overcome today? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we are not confronted, when we are confronted by the accuser, the devil, we can't stand on our good deeds or stand on our good intentions. Nor the fact that we go to church, pay our tithe, pray and read our Bible, give our tithes. You can't say this is my good works. Because what he's accusing you of is sinning. And he's trying to tell the judge, the Father God, that you don't qualify for the blessings. You're supposed to go under the curse. This is an actual legal system that's at work, whether we realize it, appreciate it, or value it or not. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. Amen. And because he's an accuser, he's like what we would call in today's court or legal vernacular, a prosecuting attorney. And the Bible says in Revelation, he goes before God day and night and accuses us. What's the only thing he can accuse us? Sin. See, they've sinned. They sin. Judge, you've got to withhold blessings. You've got to stop the blessings. And our defense, our pleas, lie only in the blood of Jesus. How do you plead? His blood alone can take away our sins. His blood alone can answer the enemy's charges and challenges. Because he will challenge you. We said it before, there's no such thing as unchallenged faith. You're trusting God for increase, you're trusting God for prosperity, you're trusting God for healing, you're trusting God to bring salvation to your house, to bring wholeness and healing to your relationships. And the devil's there to accuse you. You don't deserve that. You don't qualify for that. And he tries to build within us a what? A sin consciousness instead of a righteousness consciousness. And when sin is present, it has the power to produce death. Are you listening to me? So we have to learn to plead the blood of Jesus. New Testament, have faith in the blood. And we'll be able to silence all of Satan's accusations against us and build a hedge of protection around ourselves, our families, our churches, our circumstances. If we place ourselves under the blood and honor and acknowledge the blood of Jesus, Satan's accusations will lose their force and their power. The blood of Jesus is our protection, but we need to apply it. I forgot that song. The blood applied. Glory to his name. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down there from sin. Something. Amen. There to my heart was the blood applied. Come on, Sister Gray, help me. Glory. Glory to his name. But how many know you have to apply it to your circumstances? You have to apply it to your situation. Amen. For the blood of Jesus to be effective, we must combine action with belief. We must combine action with belief. Now, the second to last point here. Don't walk away from the bloodline. Psalms 105, verse 37. He brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble among their tribes. So in other words, they weren't broke and they weren't sick. Now, we said last week, the estimated 1 million to 6 million Jews. So if you take the middle, 3 million Jews, 3 million people weren't poor, and 3 million people weren't sick. For 40 years, their feet did not swell, the Bible says in another verse. Now, you can take all of San Antonio and Greater Bear County, which is a little bit more than 3 million, but you figure nobody in the hospital, nobody's sick, and nobody having to look for a handout. Now, where is that? Brothers and sisters, that's on the bloodline. He had a covenant with them. We have a better covenant, sister, established upon better promises today. Amen. And so when we reinstate that covenant through our communion, I'll never be broke because God promised me provision. I'll never be sick because God provided me healing for my body. Somebody say glory to God. But don't walk away and talk away from the bloodline. I'll say it one more time just for emphasis. Don't walk away or talk away from the bloodline. So when we come with the Word of God through the blood of Jesus, the same privileges are ours. If the enemy attacks either your health or your wealth, you can line up yourself with the Word of God and speak and plead the blood of Jesus and speak the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God, the Word of Covenant, was sprinkled under the Old Testament by the blood of goats. Moses sprinkled the blood over the tablets, but the blood, New Testament, has blood on it. The Bible is a bloody book. It has blood on it. It's covenant promises, covenant provision. It has been sealed, ratified, and established by the blood of Jesus. So when you plead the blood, or speak the word, come on now, you're saying covenant, you are now in force. This condemnation, this criticism from the enemy, this cause brought by the devil, this circumstances erupted in my life by the enemy of my soul, it has to be canceled. It has to be terminated. Hallelujah. Pleading the blood of Jesus releases spiritual cover that protects and delivers us. It's not a magical formula, ladies and gentlemen, but it's an exercise of faith. The blood of Jesus is powerful, but the devil is relentlessly persistent. So we must be aggressive in our faith. Like we said before, you got to bind the devil over your finances. You got to draw the bloodline around your bank account. Well, praise the Lord. As New Covenant believers, we have every right to draw a faith bloodline that the devil cannot cross. And you put up a little sign in the spirit that says, keep out, Mr. Devil, this means you. Because he's always going to look away to get in. But what lets him in? Sin lets the devil get in. Now let's look at the last, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Praise the Lord. Verse number 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled 7 days. By faith, look at this, highlight this verse. The harlot Rahab did not perish with those who believed, but she sent, when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab, who was a harlot, out of covenant, ungodly, career field, because she's basically a prostitute. But how can a prostitute get covenant protection for her family? On the basis of the blood. Hallelujah. Let's go to Joshua. Let's read the account real quick. Joshua chapter 2. She hides the spies. We'll start at verse 8. Verse 8. I know I said 9 in the handout. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. She received them with peace. Now she had a house on the roof of the Jericho. Now if you understand Jericho, they said the wall was somewhere close to 8 to 10 feet high and 10 feet thick. It was a fortified city. It was huge. Now, she usually brought her customers, her clients, up into this place for a transaction. Y'all know what a prostitute or whore does. Harlot. Here she sees the spies coming in. The whole city is shut up because they're afraid of God's people. And God told him to take the strongest, most fortified city first. Because God likes to show his muscle, and then everybody else just runs. So they came in this room, in verse 9, and she said to the men, it was only two this time, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Now, this is a faith statement, ladies and gentlemen. She said, I know that the Lord has given you this land. Here's a heathen woman. But she honored their covenant. Therefore, she honored the blood. Listen to this. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters from the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, of whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven above and on earth beneath. This is our faith talking. This is a pagan woman. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear by me. Words will matter, right? Words matter. Swear by me, by the Lord. She's cutting a covenant. Since I have shown you kindness, I haven't given you up to the people looking for you. I have shown you kindness that you will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brother, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her and says, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will kindly deal truly with you. And she let them down on a rope through the window in her house, which is on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterwards, you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath. Covenants are done by oaths and promises. Of yours, which you have made us swear, unless we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, unless you bring your father and your mother and brother and all your father's house to your home, it shall be that whoever goes inside the doors of your house in the street, his blood shall be upon his own head, and we will be guiltless. But whoever is with you in the house, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. And if you tell this business of ours, we will be free from your oath, which you've made us swear. Then she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away and departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Blood. Honor. What can wash away our sin? What can rescue us and make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The scarlet cord of salvation. And we see here in Joshua chapter 6 that Joshua says he honors that oath, that covenant that was made between her and the spies, the two spies. And in verse 23, we pick it up here. He said, then the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother. Now, you can imagine them all sitting in the house under the blood, under a covenant of blood, symbolized by a scarlet cord. Hallelujah. And her brothers and all that she had, and they brought her out, and all her relatives left them outside the camp of Israel, and they burned the city that was in it with fire. Only silver and gold and vessels of bronze and arms they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all that she had. All that she had. Come on now. Somebody say glory to God. So she dwells with Israel to this day because she had hid the messengers whom God sent to spy out Jericho. Now, scholars and historians tell us she ended up marrying one of the spies. Honor. She honored the blood. She honored their God. They honored her, and God showed her honor. She ended up hooking up with one of the guys that was a spy, and it became in the bloodline of King David. They had Boaz as a child who married Ruth, who had Jesse, who had David. In the blood, and who had eventually had Jesus. Come on now, what can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So honoring and pleading the blood is so powerful, it can change your destiny and alter history. It can take out the sin and bring salvation. God can turn things around because of the blood. God will restore on the basis of the blood. God will reinstate your covenant rights and privileges because of the blood. Rahab's profession of faith is remarkable, coming from a woman in a pagan city with a pagan background. But immediately, by tying the scarlet cord in the window, Rahab was acting out her faith and in these men and their God. The color represents blood. The blood sacrifice, symbolizing redemption. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.